And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Such an interesting thing, because people always talk about going to heaven. Oh, I want to go to heaven. If I can only go to heaven. Do you know that if you die tonight, would you go to heaven? Funny thing is, I know if I died tonight, I would go to hell, just like everybody else. Because when we die, we go into the ground, as the scriptures teach. Well, I have a thing online called I Believe in Death and in the Resurrection of the Dead. And if you are interested in that subject, I recommend it. But aside from semantics, hell, the grave, the point is, heaven, the city of God, is coming down out of heaven from God. Heaven, see, when Christ comes, he's going to raise the dead. See, he's going to raise the dead, and they will reign with him 1,000 years. He's going to raise the believers. And that is the kingdom of God on earth. Now, we have a spiritual kingdom that already exists, but it's going to come into reality. It's not just one or the other. I think sometimes that's the fault. Some people think it's only a spiritual kingdom because that's all we have right now. And other people say, no, it's a physical kingdom. And they neglect the spiritual, but it's really both. The kingdom of God is within you, but it's also going to be in your midst. When the king is present, the kingdom will be imminent. It will be here. It's going to come. He's going to make us a pillar in the temple of his God. Does that mean he's going to turn us into a stone support for a temple? No. It's like when they say a pillar of the community. It's a figure of speech. He's going to make you an important part. Go no more out. You know, what does that mean? You're just going to be stuck there forever? We will be part of, we will no longer be something external to him, but we will be part and parcel of all that he is. I've often thought, the Catholics had a really interesting medieval concept of heaven. They talked that, you know, you'll stand in perfect contemplation of the divine, essence or something like that. You know, like, as being sort of heaven. That's better than the food analogy. I don't like the whole stuffing your face thing. Because it very well may be that. I've often wondered, you know, what would you want to do with eternal life? Where would you go? What would you do? You know, and a lot of times I think carnally, I think like, well, I'd like to go to Neptune and visit the other planets, you know, assume that's possible. And I'd like all that. But that's kind of carnal. I mean, but the thing is, if you could be in the presence of God all the time, would you really even want to be anywhere else? You know, maybe that is so good that nothing else would ever seem interesting again. I don't know. So maybe in a sense this is true. And it would sound kind of odd to the human mind, but it's like in him, there's more than just, it's not just like you're going to be stuck in a stone building. In God, there are treasures beyond the human understanding. And being in him, this might all be figures of speech towards us that we would understand would be close to the divine presence. Remember, God's everywhere.
But, you know, I don't feel him everywhere. A lot of times, you know, I feel like, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you feel alone. You don't feel like the divine presence. God is everywhere, but it doesn't seem like he's with me. You know, I've had plenty of times like that in life where I really felt God wasn't around. Even though intellectually I knew and believed he was around. But to truly be in touch with him at all times in a way that is enjoyable and beneficial would be a blessing. I feel like people are going to chide me for saying, oh, you know, I'm not in touch with him at all times. But I'm just being real with you. I know a lot. I mean, if you have an experience where, oh, me and God, we're together all the time. We're like buddies. Well, good for you. I'm glad. Each man is given the measure of faith. You know, each one of us has gifts differing one from another. You know, I try not to get high and mighty about my gifts. And please don't get high and mighty about your gifts. It does not become you. I think your gift is a beautiful thing. But, you know, don't make me feel like some sort of spiritual reject because I have other struggles than some people. I mean, I have a great amount of admiration for people who have lots of faith and feel the presence of God at all times in their lives. That's very excellent. But I speak from my experience and to those who don't have that experience so that they might be comforted and know that they can have faith in spite of not always feeling, you know, 100% plugged into the divine essence. The idea is that when we overcome, we all obtain this gift.
This has to be something that's supposed to be attractive and good. You're not going to get turned to stone and stuck, on a wall. It's a figure of speech. So he's going to make us something important. You know, a pillar is like something holding up the roof. I mean, that's a significant part of the architecture. He will write on us the name of God and the name of the city, New Jerusalem, which is coming down. Christ is coming to earth. The kingdom is going to be here. Heaven is going to be here. When the dead rise, that's going to be the kingdom of God on earth. We're not going to go to heaven, oddly enough. I'm not looking to go to heaven. I'm looking to rise from the dead. And heaven is going to come to earth. Verse 13, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And they're also mentioned my new name. I don't know what that means. We could speculate, you know. That I've heard a lot of things said, you know, Christian or something, you know, but I don't think that's it. My new name. I guess we'll have to find out. Verse 14, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Christ is the Amen. Amen is what you say at the end of the prayer, right? You know, amen, or amen, or it doesn't matter to me. He is the last word. Somebody has the last word, the final word, the thing that wraps everything up, the amen. Amen. And then everyone knows it's done. Well, that's Christ. Amen, of course, is a Hebrew word. Amen means a truther. That's true. He is the amen. The faithful and true witness. A faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So he is the faithful witness, the true witness. He bears witness to the truth. I came to bear witness to the truth. You do not receive me. I speak that which I have heard from my Father. You speak that which you have heard from your Father. That is the nature of Christ.
He came to bear witness to the truth.
He is the beginning of the creation of God. Some people assume this means that he is a creature. It also says in Colossians, he's the firstborn of every creature. And Christ is a very interesting case. He is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word of any person is something that they generate. It is a created thing. I speak my Word, and my words are created. My words can be traced back to a point in time in which I first began speaking, in my first year of life, Mama Dada.